We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
Kempire is brought to you by
Washington, D.C., the Kempire After Dark, the Villain Era live tour is coming to your city on August 22nd. But before that, we're coming to Philly on July 10th at City Winery. Then we're going to Atlanta on August 5th. Then we're going to Washington, D.C. And this is going to be an all new show, all new hot topics, all new reality TV conversation, and all kinds of amazing guests and surprises. Be sure to get your tickets today. And don't forget, we're coming back to New York City on September 12th. Go get your tickets. There's also a live stream option exclusively for the New York City show. More information will be available in the description.
You're listening to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network.
It's day 20 of the Sean Diddy Combs trial, and we have an update. Warm weather or not, the judge is going to declare a mistrial. Hint, we're still talking about it today. Not only that, more testimony is happening from Jane, victim two, and this time it's from the defense team. The cross-examination of victim two happens today, and this is our daily update of the Sean Diddy Combs trial, day 20. Let's get into this. So I originally was probably going to go live and just give you what I normally give you in these pre-recorded versions of our daily updates. But then I said, sometimes the chat can be distracting when I just want to get through the content. So already our hour to hour and a half daily updates and will turn into like a 3-hour one. So I will go live here and there like I did over the weekend when we were talking about the breaking news that the defense had filed a motion for a mistrial. We have an update on that because the judge has denied it, obviously. But you'll have an understanding because not only did he deny it, he did say that the prosecution did drop the ball. Okay. All right, let's get into this. And of course, as always, we'll be citing our sources. Again, I'm listening to so many different sources throughout the day, from attorneys to different news outlets to inner city press. And of course, I'm comparing. I was looking at CNN's daily updates in court, and they're great. However, I feel like there are certain little things that I'm loving about NBC News and how they're covering it. They're giving context. They're giving a little bit more information. Hence why when we're covering the witnesses, I'm also going back and reading the summary because I feel like sometimes there are elements that are missing from inner city press. And for those that wonder, one of the things that I learned is that only certain people are allowed to have phones in court, more than likely certain media outlets. And of course, lawyers are only ones allowed to have their phones in court. So I want to go through this today. Slowly but surely, if you missed it, we did post another update in regards to some Tamar Braxton news and Portia news. Just in case you need a break from the Diddy of it all and you just want to hear something else, you can check out that video, and which was almost like 30 minutes because there's just so much to uncover. Let's first start off with a recap as to what happened yesterday. And shout out again to our friends over at NBC News. They say Jane returns to the stand today. They said one of Combs' former girlfriends, known only by the pseudonym Jane, is expected to return to court today for cross-examination. Jane is one of the four alleged victims at the center of the prosecution's racketeering, conspiracy, and S-trafficking case against Combs. Her testimony is part of the government's effort to show that Combs orchestrated a sprawling criminal enterprise to, quote, fulfill his sexual desires. Reminder, and I said this multiple times in yesterday's video, do not speculate on the identity of Jane for a multitude of reasons. She's a victim. The court is also cracking down on media outlets, bloggers that are speculating on her identity. And for those that don't understand, when I say speculation includes insinuations of who it could be without naming the person. Let's not do that. A lot of this information is very obvious. If you want to speculate, go somewhere else and speculate. If you don't understand that, sorry. You're not going to do that in our chat, or you will get blocked. We could do that too, because if you continue to speculate either in the comment section or in the live chat, I will just block you. And it takes a lot to get blocked over here. But if you can't understand, then you just get blocked from the channel altogether because you refuse to understand what the word speculation means. Thank you. Let's get back into this. It was from yesterday. There were a few people having conversations. I want to be very clear, and I will remind you again in the middle of this video. Mods, please do the same. And let me know if there's someone that needs to get blocked that maybe I will miss it. Because a lot of times I'll upload this. I will be in and out the chat while doing other things because I've spent how many hours trying to do these videos for you guys. Let's move on. So on the stand yesterday, the witness's voice cracked as she told jurors about a night in 2023 when she said that she was instructed to meet Combs at the Trump International Hotel and Tower, New York, and directed to have sex with a male S worker. Jane wiped away tears as she recalled telling Combs that she didn't want to have sex with other men anymore. Jane also sobbed as she recounted her reaction to Ventura's allegations against Combs. At one particular point, she said after reading Cassie's lawsuit, she almost passed out because she literally said that she felt like she was reading her own story. Jane also testified that she had unaliving ideations at the end of 2023 and told Combs that she unalive herself. In text messages, she told him that she believed that he used and break her. And she wrote to him that he was done with her. And she wrote to him that he was done with her and she wanted to not be here anymore. When prosecutor Maureen Comey asked why she sent the text, Jane cried so hard it was difficult to understand her answer. One of the things that we reported on yesterday as well was the fact that Jane would read during the direct examination from a notes app. In the notes app, she would write things that she was considering sending to Diddy. And I said it was almost like her diary. So the defense did not want this to be admissible in court. Based on the decision this morning, the judge says no, they will continue to include it. Because that was something that I questioned as well. Like, is this? Because I don't understand. And maybe a tech wizard can confirm. Because when you update your notes app, there are time markers on there. But I'm wondering, because again, I don't know. I don't know if they verified any of that information. One of the other things that we found out yesterday as well in regards to Jane was the fact that Diddy also physically harmed her. That was one of the things that we found out. And because it was something that I had brought up when we were looking at her direct examination, I was like, well, so far, yes, he's been abusive towards her in regards to making her be with other men, but he hadn't been physically abusive to her. She does talk about when the tape came out, she was still dating him. She remembers everyone huddling at his home and trying to figure out, should he put out an apology video? Should he deny the video? She talked about that, but then she also talked about being harmed by him at one particular point when she accused him of being a pedophile. So that, and then he knocked down all kinds of doors in her home. She says to this day, those doors have not been fixed. I don't know why he had given her money to get them fixed, but I guess she must have used them for other things, the money. So she talked about multiple, and in today's testimony, you will hear her talk more about these interactions with other men. There's a lot that comes out, even including, I'm not sure if it'll be in the summaries, but I did, again, because I'm reading so many different stories, that she at one particular point thought that Diddy might be bisexual. A lot of people have speculated that because you would like to see your women have sex with other men. I think a lot of people have speculated that he might be bisexual, which there's nothing against the law. Hello, it's Pride Month. Don't forget, we are doing our Pride Month fundraiser. 100% of your donation goes to the organization. It'll be along the sides here somewhere. That is not a crime, but it is a crime when you are forcing people to do things that they don't want to do. But again, the defense's defense will be that, no, this was consensual. This is something that you wanted to do. You wanted to make him happy, et cetera, et cetera. All right. So Jane told the court that when she read Cassie's lawsuit against Combs, she says, I reacted like I can't believe I'm reading my own story. She said that she fainted about learning about the November 2023 lawsuit. She also said that she confronted Combs in a text around that time saying, I feel like I'm reading my own sexual trauma. In a recorded phone call days after the lawsuit was filed, Combs pleaded for her support, basically manipulating her. Because if she's texting you that I feel like I'm reading my own story, my own trauma, he wants to make her feel bad for him. Saying, I just needed to tell you I need your friendship. You know you ain't got to worry about anything else, baby. Please pray for me, Combs told Jane. I will be praying for you. I need your friendship. Let's get into what Inner City Press is reporting before we get to the summary. But I do want to read what NBC wrote in regards to the mistrial. And this is why I was like, I got to stick with NBC because I was looking at other media outlets that are covering it. And they just said the judge denied the mistrial. But I want to read what NBC wrote. Before we get into the Inner City Press, they're doing a fantastic job in covering this case. So before they bring the jury in, Inner City Press reports that the judge says, I'm ruling that the government cannot recall Dr. Hughes. That was one of the things that the prosecution wanted. Dr. Hughes, remember, helped all of us, including the jury, understand cycles of abuse and why people stay in these relationships. She testified a couple of weeks ago, and she's testified in a lot of big name cases. And most recently, at least that you'll remember, Johnny Depp and the Amber Heard one. So the judge says, I'm ruling that the government cannot recall Dr. Hughes for more testimony despite the Second Circuit's decision in U.S. versus Larry Ray. The judge says, on the rule that Jane's notes reflected alleged fraud to induce her into the hotel nights are admissible. So in regards to the notes app notes that she was writing, despite the defense's argument. So the defense wanted those notes thrown out. I could understand why, to be honest with you, just because the verification of the timeline of it. Combs' attorney, Alexandra Shapiro, Ms. Bogolin said clearly that the balcony incident took place on September 26. We believe she perjured herself and that they knew the government elicited that all injured were at the same time. The judge says, couldn't we just say that the government screwed up? This is what the judge is saying. Giving Ms. Westmoreland a rare Perry Mason moment in federal court. That defense back in its war zone could say, great job. Combs' attorney Shapiro says she did do a great job, but they had Ms. Ventura say she saw it. Shapiro then says, this is only our second motion for mistrial. I'm not sure why the government says it's the third. Because you guys have been trying to trigger a mistrial. In my brain, it feels like the third, but maybe this is the second time you filed a motion. But it does feel like you try to trigger a mistrial at the very beginning with Cassie's testimony, and then you try to trigger a mistrial again, it felt like, with Kid Cudi's testimony, with something that you believed that he was about to say, but he didn't say it. So she said, this is only our second motion for mistrial. I'm not sure why the government says it's our third. AUSA says perjury is only one prong of a four-part test. Judge says, this happened years ago. Ms. Bogolin has taken a lot of drugs. Thank God she's sober. So he's denying the mistrial. AUSA's Mr. Steele also moved for a mistrial, said AUSA. Judge says, well, he said that he was going to move. Come on. Yes. So all of us believe that this is like the third or fourth time that you guys have tried to trigger a mistrial. Combs' attorney says, we object to juror six being stricken. It's under seal, but judge says everyone will be heard. What about juror six? Is juror six the one that was making the faces? That's interesting. Being stricken, juror number six. The judge says, bring in Jane, then the jury. All rise. Judge says, Ms. Garagos. You know this is Mark Garagos' daughter, I believe, right? She says, you may proceed with your cross-examination. He's talking to Ms. Garagos. Combs' attorney. I'm not going to keep saying Combs' attorney. I'll indicate where necessary. Jane, we met before. Then you stopped meeting with the defense. That was your choice, right? She says, correct. Because keep in mind, for those that this might be your first time watching the channel and you have no idea what's been playing out. Oh, maybe. Keep in mind, Jane literally was still dating. And I put dating in quotes because the relationship she had with Diddy was not a normal relationship. She was dating Diddy up until he was arrested. She also is, her rent is still paid by Diddy. The lawyer representing her is, keep in mind, a lot of these people that are testifying have their own lawyers. Her lawyer is paid by Diddy. So this is why she's bringing it up, Ms. Garagos. She says, you are testifying against Mr. Combs. Jane says, I'm testifying against him? Question mark. Garago says, how many times did they prep you on how to be cross-examined at this trial? She says, maybe two or three times. Did you bring in other prosecutors to cross you? Yes. And they granted you immunity at the grand jury, right? She says, yes. You said that you had regret about some of the choices you made with Mr. Combs. If you have it, I'd love to look at it with you, Jane said. You chose to participate in that lifestyle for many years, and you did not want to break up with him, right? She says, I did not want to. Garago says, you had sex with other men for years. She says, I resent the emotional control. I was hooked from the start. There was pressure to perform these acts my lover desired. Garago says, you used the word partner again and again on direct. He was your partner? She says, yes. You said that you're having trouble answering for yourself why you had sex with these men. She says, yes. You are in therapy now? She says, yes. You love Mr. Combs? I love to spend time with my partner. You wanted to cuddle with him, to give him foot rubs, you said, Jane said. Objection to the counsel making herself a witness, AUSA said. Jane says, I love to bathe him, and we watch his favorite show. Garago says, which show was that? Dateline. Oh. Did you believe that he was not doing this with anyone else? She says, during this time period, Garago says, you'd look at his messages. Yeah. And she says, yes. Jane says, he was vulnerable in those hotel rooms, and I shared that with him. It was conflicting. I was breaking all of my boundaries so that he would feel loved. Garago says, this brought you two together? Jane says, yes, the lovemaking afterwards. That's why I enjoyed it. Garago says, you tried to be very sexy to him in those rooms. Jane says, I think I was sexy in those rooms. Because you are a beautiful woman. Did you choose the wardrobe? She says, initially he did. He liked baby oil. It turned him on. Jane says, yes. Garago says, how old were you when you started your relationship with Mr. Combs? 35. So this is where she's going to try and, again, take away from what we use as a defense for Cassie. She was young and impressionable, and he manipulated her. So in my impression here, Garago is trying to say, you're a grown woman. You're damn near 40. Shouldn't you know better? Here's the thing. And I always like to make this in everyday scenario. There are a lot of people that we all know that are in relationships, not like necessarily like this, but abusive relationships. And they're 40 years old, 50 years old. Just want to point that out. Not saying neither here nor there, but pay attention to what she's doing. Jane says 35. Garago says, what are examples of your fantasy talk in those rooms? Jane says, he would have me and the entertainer be in a role play, cheating role play, that Sean left town. Garago says, how high were your heels? 6 to 7 inches. Usually I wear 3 to 4 inch heels. You wanted your child to be closer to your child's father, but did your father see the child? Jane says, what does that have to do with this? She's got a point. Garago says, would you fly weekly to see Mr. Combs? Jane says, sometimes. Garago says, we listened to 5 voice notes in which Mr. Combs sounded angry, but he'd sent you thousands, right? Jane says, yes. Garago says, why did you feel he was larger than life? Bright light, she said. Again, we have to remember, this is not an exact transcription. This is Inner City Press trying to get all of this to us in a timely fashion. So there's some misinformation, not misinformation, but some mistakes. Jane says, he introduced me to the gospel. He had a favorite pastor he'd watch on TV. Okay. That is so interesting to me, and it's probably T.D. Jakes. Combs's attorney, Garrigo, says, has that stayed with you? Jane says, yes. Do you watch the pastor today? Objection sustained. How much did he invest in your dress line? She says, $20,000. Why did you join OnlyFans? She says, if I could get off it, I would. Financial need. Mr. Combs gave you money throughout the relationship in 3.5 years. Does $150,000 sound right? She says, I would assume. Garrigo says, you told the government you gravitate toward providers. Jane says, yes. As a woman, I like that. You called the house our house. Later, I saw it as my house. Garrigo says, you thought it was important that his staff not know about the entertainers, right? Objection, AUSA says. Judge says, overruled. Jane says, right. Garrigo says, that's a reason you go to the house, that and a yard for your son. Jane says, can you say my child? Oh, because I guess she doesn't want to identify if that she has a boy or a girl. Oh. Because again, people are trying. I mean, I don't think you really need to. Again, we're not going to speculate on that. But so I had to stop there because it looks as if InterCity Press had some sort of issue today when it comes to reporting back, because that's the last thing that I see on his account. But like I said before, we will go to the summary in regards to, because they are also highlighting different quotes from today's testimony. Look, this is a trial that is, this is the 20th day. Again, if you're covering this story either at the court, in the court, outside the court, here on YouTube, make sure you're taking time for yourselves, because it really is a full-time job covering this story, because there's so much that comes out. There are intense things that might be triggering to the people listening. So those people that are also watching the content, be mindful of that. So I don't know what happened with InterCity Press. I will check back before being done with this video. But as I said before, NBC News has been doing a great job in regards to giving us a summary as well. So in regards to the mistrial, just to backtrack a little bit so that we have an understanding what happened in court today, because as you know, we had breaking news on Saturday night about the defense team filing a motion for a mistrial. So the defense motion for a mistrial has been denied. That request for a mistrial centered on the testimony of Brianna Bogolin, a friend of Cassie Ventura, who testified that Combs dangled her over a 17-story apartment balcony in Los Angeles in 2016. The defense claimed that Bogolin and Ventura lied about the balcony incident, alleging that the testimony was perjured. The defense said that the Combs was on the East Coast at the time of the alleged incident, staying at the Trump Hotel in New York. While the defense was able to attack Bogolin's testimony, the judge ruled that it was not fodder for a mistrial. The judge said that the defense did not object to her testimony and that they were allowed a vigorous cross-examination. So this is explaining why he decided, no, you could have stopped it then. The judge, Aaron Subramanian, said that the government screwed up, but that wasn't grounds for a mistrial. He noted that Combs' defense attorney, Nicole Westmoreland, had a Perry Mason moment, meaning a dramatic revelation in a courtroom. Ventura mentioned the balcony incident without naming Bogolin in her 2023 lawsuit against Combs. She also testified about it while on the witness stand last month. Key government witness Jane took the witness stand for cross-examination. Combs' attorney, Tenney Garagos, is set to lead the defense's questioning of Jane, who's wearing a brown suit blazer. Combs is wearing a light-colored long-sleeve shirt with black pants. Sidebar, Diddy was very concerned. We didn't talk about this before. Diddy allegedly, I'll say, approached one of the sketch artists and said, stop making me look like a koala bear. You are worried about the wrong things. Why did you even see these sketches? Why are you even concerned? Stop making me look like a koala bear. That's what people are saying you look like. Defense attorney Tenney Garagos pushed Jane on her lack of interest in cooperating with the government when agents first raided Combs' residence in March of last year. Remember, she still was in a relationship with Diddy. Jane testified under cross-examination that when Homeland Security investigation agents arrived at her home, she wanted nothing to do with them. She had a choice to speak to them, and she chose to get an attorney paid for by Combs, she told the court. After Combs' arrest, Jane confirmed that she met with a grand jury after the government granted her immunity. Asked if she loves Combs currently, Jane told the court that she does. Under cross-examination, Jane confirmed that she wanted to be close to her partner. Jane testified that she liked to take care of him after hotel nights and called out Dateline as one of his favorite shows. Jane told the court that she felt as if her partner was trusting her in a vulnerable moment. She was made to believe it was special and didn't want to judge him. Sounds like just manipulation. Combs' offers of love and affection were the only reason Jane said that she would enjoy hotel nights, which is the phrase she used for nights Combs would watch her have sex with other people. She told the court that she felt trusted by Combs in those vulnerable moments, saying that she was breaking all of my own boundaries to make him feel loved, even as it became hard for her. Jane said that she wanted Combs to be satisfied. The witness said that she fell in love with Combs but didn't understand what conditions would come with that relationship. He introduced me to this lifestyle under a lot of emotional pressure, Jane said. I was so hooked from the beginning on the love and affection. I fell in love with him and I didn't understand the terms of the relationship. She came to understand that having freak-off sex with strange men might have been part of the deal. It was along the lines of love and pressure to these things he desired and wanted to fulfill my duties as a girlfriend. Jane told the court that Combs had a big personality and was very sure of himself, which she felt was unique. Jane described why she felt Combs was larger than life. She said that Combs offered highly motivational speeches to encourage her, which helped her feel more confident. Jane testified that she used to be shy and still struggles with self-esteem issues, which might explain why she would be easily manipulated into this relationship. Jane said that Combs introduced her to gospel music and had insightful conversations on his spirituality. The chats brought a really good perspective on a lot of things, the witness said. He had a favorite pastor and he would put sermons on TV and we would watch it together. And he would send me sermons and I would watch it on my own. Here's the thing. When we had a conversation with Los Angeles prosecutor Kirsten Brown, she talked about, despite abusers having this relationship with the person that they were abusing, there are people, plenty of other people, that see a completely different side to this person, including the person being abused. They would see these other big, beautiful moments and they would rationalize those big, beautiful moments as worth it to stay in that relationship and in that abusive cycle. Under cross-examination, Jane testified to how much Combs spent supporting her financially, agreeing that Combs wired her around $150,000 during their relationship. Combs' attorney, Tenny Garagos, asked Jane whether she gravitated toward providers. Jane responded that she ideally wanted someone who is a partner and provider. Prior to meeting Combs, Jane said that she was making about $50,000 as an influencer in addition to receiving child support. Combs said that he enjoyed being with Jane and gave her an edgy nickname to go with those good times. According to a text message shown in court, they had just returned from Turks and Caicos in 2023 when Combs reflected on their fun trip. Get your rest. You are the crack pipe. That's my name for you, crack pipe. I'm going to call you crack pipe. A very good time together, he said in a 2023 voicemail played in court. Jane testified that there were times when Combs used paying her rent as a tool, saying that it was something of a reminder. She recalled one argument when she was depressed over hotel nights and hit a wall when she was on the phone call with Combs. She testified that Combs asked about her needing 3 months' rent. Jane told the court that it didn't feel genuine and they exchanged nasty text messages, one of which included her saying that she's not either of his exes. Combs' attorney asked whether Combs sent Jane $20,000 unsolicited, which Jane confirmed. Jane told the court that she was aware that Combs was a polyamorous and seeing multiple women, and that at first it wasn't something that she minded. But as emotions grew deeper, she testified, the imbalance became difficult to handle. Jane said the relationship looked monogamous, even if it wasn't in reality, which she was not okay with. She agreed that it hurt her feelings that he was easily able to shift to another woman. Jane used colorful language when referring to another woman he was dating, she said. But mind you, when we talked about this yesterday and the possibility of her talking to someone else infuriated him. So this polyamorous relationship was one-sided. It didn't seem like she could be dating other people. We saw the same thing with Cassie Ventura as well. God forbid she decided to move on with Kid Cudi. He wasn't trying to hear it. Okay. Combs' heavy use of drugs and alcohol worried Jane, who said that during a trip to Turks and Caicos, she felt like the music mogul had jaundice, graying gums, and shaking hands. We're talking about years of him doing drugs. Jane said that she wanted Combs to go to rehab clinic in Thailand. I'm sure he wishes he went now too. Just saying. When I say that, meaning that he could escape the government and what's going on now, he probably would have never come back. When Combs' defense attorney, Tenny Garagos, asked Jane if she believed Combs was an addict, the witness said, I felt like he was overdoing the partying. Okay, so she didn't think he was an addict, but again, she only knew him in this segment of his life. Defense attorney, Tenny Garagos, asked Jane whether Combs was driven by his desires and her love for Combs drove her during hotel nights. Yes, Jane responded. Jane testified that she told Combs multiple times that she didn't feel comfortable engaging in hotel nights as times passed. She also testified under cross-examination that she loved the attention and affection Combs would give her during those nights. Jane testified that she came to understand that Combs' desire to see her having intercourse with another man was an exercise of sexual curiosity, saying, I was trying to figure out the relationship and I came upon the word cuckold, a man turned on by watching his woman having sex with another man, Jane told the court. I just wanted to know what was driving him. Jane said that she believed that it could have been an interest in bisexuality, but Combs might have been too scared to do the act himself, making these freak-offs the next closest alternative. And honestly, if we were to sort of break down some of this, if we wanted to, with her talking about him being so spiritual and sending her sermons, he probably had this internal conflict. And I know you're probably thinking, 2025, you're a music industry, you're so successful, you couldn't just come out and be bisexual. We got to remember he's a man of a particular age. He's talking about being in religion, and in this particular religion that's saying that is completely wrong. There are still people that struggle with their sexuality as we speak. There have been different examples ever since all this stuff has popped off. People have brought up so many different examples of how Diddy acts around other men with some of the language that he uses. And you're like, that's a little sus. Jane testified that ecstasy greatly helped her in Combs' focus on sexual energy. He was just happy, charismatic, good energy, a sexual high, she said. Before ecstasy, he was agitated and stressed from the day. After, he would be happy in a good mood, which is probably why he ended up getting hooked on it, because he always wanted to feel like that. Combs called his end of the week partying a F it Friday celebration, Jane said. It's when he'd let loose and want to party really hard, she said. Jane testified that Combs' chief of staff, Christina Curram's name being mentioned yet again, spoke to her on the phone on at least one occasion when Jane transported drugs for Combs. Okay. Text message exchanges were shared between Corum and Jane. So she's going to need immunity. I would be shocked. I know I keep saying this every time we talk about this, that KK does not testify. Text messages exchanges were shared between Corum and Jane, where the women were coordinating travel arrangements. Jane also said that the two spoke on the phone, which was not their standard method of communication. Jane also testified that communication with Corum was a point of contention for her while she dated Combs. Corum, or KK, was always with Combs, and it became a difficult part of Jane's relationship with Combs, she said. Jane told the court Corum had strong feelings about Jane that would influence how Combs treated her. This is why I say Christina Curram's testimony is going to be critical in this case, because not only is she involved in the day-to-day, she's intimately involved in everything. So she has a lot of exposure. I know she's definitely, if the other assistants wanted immunity, she's definitely going to want immunity because she's also facing civil lawsuits that are accusing her of behavior. And it makes me wonder if she testifies in this case, will this open her up to the civil lawsuits? Jane testified that she invoked the names of two all-time basketball greats to describe her sex life with Combs and someone named Paul. I saw this earlier today. I was like, why are we bringing up Shaquille O'Neal, Michael Jordan, and Kobe Bryant? May he rest in peace. So she testified that she invoked the names of two all-time basketball greats to describe her sex life with Combs and someone named Paul. The three of them were the trifecta, Jane said, with a nod to the Hall of Fame hoopsters. I was like Kobe Bryant and Paul was Shaq, Shaquille O'Neal. Jane said, Combs was Michael Jordan. This is a reminder, again, no speculating on Jane's identity in the chat or the comment section. We are going to give a zero tolerance to anyone that's speculating on the identity. You will be blocked from the channel. Also a reminder, don't forget to like this video. We have so many of you that end up watching these videos either in the live chat or in the replay of this video, and you're not liking the video. Liking the video is easy and free. I won't know that you liked it. If you're watching to garner information for your own channel, that's fine. Cite your source, but you don't have to. At least like the video. Support the channel. And if you haven't subscribed, subscribe. Join the community. We're giving you daily updates. And you never know when we go live like we did over the weekend. If you're not subscribed, you're missing out on those lives. Do not rely on an algorithm to keep you up to date on what's going on. And don't forget, you can get these updates on the podcast as well. Sometimes that's your preferred way. Maybe you want to download it and take us on the go while you're commuting or traveling. Subscribe to the Kempire Podcast today. And while you're there, do us a favor and give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. Shout out to our Spotify community. I'm seeing your comments. I'm replying to some of them if I can keep up. Our Spotify community is growing and growing, so we appreciate you guys as well. And don't forget this month, especially when we're talking about these issues of DV, the center, the LGBT center here in New York City, we are raising $3,000 yet again this year for Pride Month. Happy Pride, but help us get to our goal. We have over 1,000. We reached over 1,000 yesterday. Donate what you can. Share this video. Share any of our videos and let other people donate. Spread the word. Help us reach our goal. We only have 20-something days. June is only 30 days. Today's the 10th. We have 20 days. 20 days until this is over. So I would like to raise $5,000. I keep saying that because I would like to get to 3,000 by the end of this week. I don't see why we couldn't. Thousands of you watch the channel. So if everyone donated a dollar, we could definitely reach our goal of 5,000. But I said, let me start small. Again, for everything Kempire, including our merch, our Juneteenth merch, our Pride merch, or just merch in general, will be available in the description and everything Kempire as well. Let's get back into what NBC is reporting. Let me just double check to see if our friends over at Interceiver, I hope everything's good with him in regards to this, because that's unusual. I mean, maybe he has some tech issues today, guys, which is okay. It happens. It happens. But at least we still have a summary. Shout out to everyone that's still in the court. The defense is going to go over text messages and voice notes that Jane sent to Combs, where she engaged in, quote, fantasy talk that appeared to show her willingness for sexually explicit activities. Some of the messages include Jane describing what she would like to do to specific S workers who were hired for hotel nights or discussing the planning of hotel nights. Jane testified that she gave Combs options on things that he wanted to hear. She told the court that these were things that wouldn't have occurred to her to do, but knew Combs would like to do them. Jane and defense lawyer Tenny Gergos exchanged some pointed words about handbags and sex during cross-examination. Gergos insinuated that the witness was consensually having sex with other men, gladly accepting designer bags, and gladly accepting designer bags. Again, this is their job. The defense has to paint the picture like, you like this. You were consenting to this. You like the lifestyle. You were getting bags. You were getting flown out. You were doing this. You like this. Jane responded, no, I got trauma. after Garrigou's question if she didn't get anything. The defense lawyer also asked the witness if she knew what a Bottega bag was. And Jane responded, "I'm sure you have one."
Oh,
okay. Things are getting heated in court. Garrigou's also asked how much a Bottega bag costs, to which Jane responded, "How much does my body cost?"
Oh,
okay. Jane asked for a break shortly after the exchange. Okay. All right. So the jury was dismissed for the day. So that feels like it was a short day today. And the jury has been dismissed for the day with instructions that the court will begin at 1 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. So they're starting pretty late tomorrow. So this should be interesting. I'm sure there's some things that, because remember, one of the issues that Diddy's attorneys have been having was with meeting, being able to meet with him with enough time, despite the rules of the prison. So that might be part of the reason why they're meeting later, which is fine, but we shall see. Moving on from there, guys, just a reminder, don't forget to like this video. We're going to continue to give you your updates on the Sean Diddy Combs trial. Luckily, today was a little bit shorter than normal. Usually, we are reading transcripts, which usually makes the day pretty long, which is fine. It's fine that we all get a little bit of a break today. But that is your update in regards to Jane's testimony. They're suspecting that Jane will be testifying until at least Thursday. Tomorrow is Wednesday, so I wouldn't be surprised at that. Based on what you've seen so far, though, what do you think is happening here? What do you think will happen when the jury decides to deliberate? We have to remember, the jury has to go by certain guidelines. And I saw that defense admitted, and I don't know if the judge has weighed in on whether or not this will be included, but they filed documents for stipulations that they would like the jury to consider when deciding whether he's guilty or not. And one thing I didn't mention or even think about, and I want to ask Kirsten Brown about this, and because we talked about the statute of limitations when it comes to the DV of it all, and there are statute of limitations. I didn't think about the statute of limitations when it comes to RICO, because there are statutes of limitations for when it comes to jury will have to consider. Sean Diddy Combs is worried about the wrong things. Did he confront a content creator inside the court saying, "I know you"? Because I've been hearing things on social media in regards to Stephanie Hsu, who's been inside the courtroom since day one. So before we get to what Stephanie had to say about Diddy mouthing words to her inside the courtroom, she already was posting on her social media about weird behavior on outside of the courtroom. And I told you some of what I've been seeing in regards to the coverage that we've been doing throughout the day is weird behavior happening inside and outside the court. Hence why I'm glad to be reporting from home, away from the weird energy that's around Sean Diddy Combs. If you've been following the stories and the updates here on the channel, we're not just talking about domestic violence. We're talking about a very dark energy, a very dark spirit that's been around us in our music, in our culture, and his name is Sean Diddy Combs. So Stephanie took to her social media talking about weird comments that she was receiving from people outside the court.
It has been a rough few weeks. This is our fourth time moving locations. One of them was completely unrelated to the case, and the rest of the times that we've moved to different places to stay, it's just been getting weird, and we're taking all the necessary precautions to keep the entire team safe. So the past 2 weeks, we have had almost 8 or 9 times completely new faces that will come up to us, tell us that they love our show, Rotten Mango, and then they keep asking us where we're staying. This has been happening like every other day. There are other odd questions that are asked by people that don't necessarily look like they even care about the show in the slightest. So one person in particular asked a series of questions trying to gauge how much, quote, power I have over my audience. Like they kept asking, like, can you make them do anything? And I was like, do you think I like run a cult? I think half of them don't even like me that much. Like, what do you mean? What do you mean? I can't make them do anything, period. But they kept asking, like, well, you don't think if you say something, they would listen to you? And I'm like, I don't think so. I think they would do their own research. And it did not seem like this person cared at all about this show. There was one instance.
I have to pause it there because remember, if you've been following our coverage, I said to you that it feels as if, based on the testimonies that we've been seeing about the assistants and the ex-girlfriends that were so loyal to Diddy, I said, this is very cult-like behavior. And I think it's important to note what she's saying here and what this person was saying to her. Because Is Diddy trying to influence this case from the outside? Maybe.
It's where we're walking out of the courthouse. We run into someone who's like, hey, I love your show. That's it. And then they like come in for a hug. It was kind of abrupt. I was a little bit taken off guard. I love your show. Pulling me in for a hug. And my researcher snatches my arm, pulls me back, and is like, we gotta go. Our car is here. And I thought it was kind of strange. So we get into the car and she's telling me their hand was like elbow deep into your tote bag. It's clear that they're looking for something. Now, I will say that my tote bag opening is quite large, but it's right under my armpit. So you would have to attempt to stick your arm in there. It would not be an accident. Like, oh, I'm hugging you and my hand just ended up in this side. It's like elbow deep. So, I mean, I guess they could have been trying to steal my wallet, but it was weird. There's a lot of other small incidents that have taken place over the past week. It feels like the weirdness and the influx of all these odd questions of where are you staying? How much influence do you have increased, especially the where are you staying ones. I mean, I've never had that many people ask me where I'm staying. Honestly, nothing really happened. It's just, you know, when you have a gut feeling like something's not right, it's kind of a lot of those that have been creeping us out and we're just trying to stay on top of it before it escalates to anything.
Gut feelings are really important. And I've been telling you that when covering this case, there's a lot of things that I've been seeing. Not everything that I've seen I've reported on, but there's a lot of interesting energy outside and inside this courtroom. But I also reported to you in covering this case that there were people being paid outside to wear Free Diddy shirts, including people that are part of Diddy's entourage as he has people escorting the family in wearing Free Diddy merch. So Stephanie reported on that a few days ago. Then she reported this.
I think Diddy might know us. I don't know, maybe. So I'm just gonna explain. Usually, Sean Combs will do this thing where he does a sweep of the press pews when he first walks into the courtroom. He's like hugging his attorneys. He'll look to the public side, which is on his right, and then we're kind of diagonal from him. And he oftentimes, since more of his supporters are coming to the courtroom these days, he'll shoot them little hand hearts. He'll put his hand to his chest. He'll mouth thank you. And then the press pews, we get a simple glance over and sometimes a nod. Now, clearly, this stands out to both my researcher and I really strongly, because on Thursday, we even write the time down, at 8:50 a.m., jurors are not in the courtroom. Sean Combs sits down at his chair and he turns in his chair to the right. This is our eye direction, like we can see him now. He starts staring in what felt like in our general direction or perhaps right behind us. And it's a pretty lengthy stare. And then he starts nodding while mouthing the words dramatically, I know you. He mouths it twice with what we perceive to be a smirk. Then as he's turning back around to face the front, he's like ever so slightly shaking his head while he's still smirking. But again, I'm not trying to be dramatic. I don't know if he was looking at me. He could have been looking behind me, right? But then right at that moment, the jury comes in, we all stand up, and as there's noise in the courtroom, because we're not allowed to talk when the judge is on the bench, a reporter from a major media network, I mean, she's been doing this for years and years. She's like a professional. She turns to me and she whispers, quote, you're putting that in your video, right? Because that was at least 7 seconds. So my researcher and I, we both felt it was weird. We both wrote it down independently in our notes in the courtroom. We talked about it after and we're like, you know what? We can't be sure. We don't want to be dramatic. Then it happens again on Friday, a week later.
It should be noted, don't forget, the judge reprimanded Diddy via his attorney, saying that he has to stop making facial expressions and interacting with the jury. And according to insiders, journalists, they were saying Diddy has been doing that since the beginning of the trial. And I don't know if the judge noticed it himself or someone reported it to the judge, but it was noted. They threatened, they said if he continues, he will be kicked out of court and he won't be there for the trial. And everyone that's there says that Diddy is very expressive. You would say that some even joked that maybe he's one of the attorneys because of how he's interacting. He's taking notes. He's whispering to his attorneys. Look, he should. This is his life on the line. But interacting with the jury, literally, I remember when we first started covering this, and I mentioned this in one of our updates, that journalists were reporting that once Diddy came in and sat down, he literally looked at the media area and gave them all a look. Not a threatening, I don't know if they would consider it threatening, but he looked them in the eye. And according to Stephanie, he does this on a regular basis every day. I don't know what that means, because is that a way of saying, I remember each and every one of you if I get out of here? I don't know. But it's definitely giving weirdo behavior.
On Friday, there's this moment where there's a sidebar. Sean Combs' attorneys are near the front of the courtroom with the judge. And regardless, the jurors are still sitting on the side. Sean Combs turns around and then he talks to his mom. And then he's smiling, nodding at her. He's like mouthing, "I love you." And then my neck is tilted still because I'm observing him and I'm taking notes about him talking to his mom during this sidebar. And as he's making his turn back to the front, it felt like we make awkward eye contact. And I say awkward to the point where I'm like, you know when it's so awkward, you almost like instinctively smile or look down because you're like, oh, I just got caught staring at someone. Mm-hmm. That was the feeling. It was like, oh, I literally just got caught staring him down. And he starts rubbing his chin with his left hand and mouths what appears to seem like, "I know you, I know you." And this time it seemed more pronounced because as he's rubbing his chin with his left hand, he does like a slight index point. It's not like a point. He's not pointing his finger, but it's kind of like a hand gesture, like, "I know you," like kind of like you, like almost pointing at you, whoever you is. Then he turns to the front. And it was just so odd. It was just weird. And again, he knows us. He doesn't know us. Does it really matter? I don't think so. But I did almost pee myself.
Of course, Stephanie. Shout out to those of you that are, look, if I went there, I'm glad I'm not. And I do not intend to go at any time. If I did, though, I would have, I don't know if you can bring crystals into the courthouse, but I would have me some black tourmaline on me at all times. I have black tourmaline literally right here in front of me. And I got some other crystals. I believe in energy. And I believe that Diddy has very dark energy, especially when you see and you're covering these details of this case and what he's done to these people. Anyway, that's not the only thing, because Diddy, again, is worried about the wrong things. Weirdo behavior. Let me read to you what CBS is reporting in regards to him confronting a sketch artist. Like, sir, you are fighting for your freedom and your life, and you're worried about the wrong things. According to CBS News, Sean Diddy Combs had a request for the courtroom artist at his S-trafficking racketeering conspiracy trial. During a break in the trial proceedings Thursday, Combs spoke to court artist Jane Rosenberg to ask her to soften it up a bit. Saying that she makes him look like a koala in her sketches, Rosenberg told CBS News New York. Combs, who has been jailed since September's arrest, now has gray hair and a beard. Cameras and photography are not allowed, as you know, in the federal court, but sketch artists are. Combs' remarks to Rosenberg came on the same day that the judge warned Combs' defense team that he could be removed from the court if he tried to interact with the jury. So here's the thing. Some people have said this is how he knows Stephanie Sue, because she has made comments about him looking like a koala bear in court. Do these jailbirds, these folks that are in the jail, the MDC, have access to the internet? Or is this something that his legal team is bringing to his attention? I don't know the amount of access that these folks have while incarcerated. And again, we have to remember he's being detained. He's not necessarily in prison yet, like a Tory Lanez. I don't know how much internet access he has, but how is he watching these videos? Either way, he's worried about the wrong things. He's worried about his image versus his freedom. But everyone's still saying, has the prosecution proven the charges of S trafficking and racketeering? That remains to be seen. One of the updates we had today was that I believe it was they were trying to have one of the jurors stricken, and that was denied by the judge. As always, if you enjoy content like this or you want an update like this, be sure to subscribe to the channel, hit your notification so you never miss out on breaking news when we go live or when we upload. Don't forget to like the video, and don't forget, we're taking the Kempire After Dark Villain Era Tour to a city near you, Philadelphia. You're literally a month away. Go get your tickets today for that show. I'll be in Atlanta on August 5th, then in DC on August 22nd, then back here in New York City on September 12th. Don't miss a night of hot topics, comedy, and more. More information on that and more will be available in the description. Thank you all for watching and for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network. As always, you can hear Kempire on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. More information can be found on KempireRadio.com.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free select DeWalt, Craftsman, or Kobalt tool with purchase of a select battery kit. Plus, get a free Werner 2-foot aluminum ladder when you buy an 8-foot fiberglass ladder. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.